It looks nice, your guitars, that's amazing. Amazing view. You see it every day, but for me it's
Yeah.
first look, so impressive. And I want to know, how did everything start with your musical career? When you were very young, you made your first music on a computer, is it right? You told me there
Well,
were.
the very first things that I can remember are getting sent to school to play recorder by my mum, who had played recorder at home as well. I don't know, I must have been about 5 years old when we did that. And I remember my dad was a computer programmer, and we had a computer, and this would have been 1984 or maybe 1985. And he decided it was my mom's birthday. We should make the computer play happy birthday for her. And so we sat down together and we programmed in BASIC on the computer, happy birthday. So that was the very first time I used a computer to make anything musical, though mostly it was done by my dad, but I kind of helped him a little bit. You know, that sounds right, that sounds good. I was programming from the age of 5 or 6.
What kind of computer was it?
It was a CPC 464 from Amstrad, which people stateside probably will never have heard of, but it was big in the UK, and in Germany it was sold as a Schneider.
I can remember, yeah. I had a C64 at that time and also tried a little bit to program in BASIC. But I didn't make music at that time. It was more very small programs which put out some words, yeah, something like this.
A classic Hello World or
Yes, something like this.
10 print, I'm the best, 20, go to 10.
Yeah, no, nothing spectacular. The sounds on that
The
computer you cannot compare with the sounds on our modern machines. Or what was the difference in sound and how did you program it in these early years? It's totally different to nowadays, or?
Yeah, well, back then, I'm remembering this sort of vaguely. I actually ended up programming a drum computer that was in a magazine. They had the source code. And, you know, back in the day, you had to type it in yourself rather than getting a cover disk. And the way it worked was you had envelopes for the attack, sustain, decay, and release portions of the sound. And you had particular waveforms that you could get to play. So you combine these two things together and you made a sound. And I can't remember the exact waveforms, but I'm going to guess that it was a noise one because that's how we made the drums. There will have been sine, saw, and presumably square, maybe a triangle. So you basically had an envelope command and you had a play command, and that was how you did it. You specify the pitch.
You needed one day for the program.
Yeah, they had source code listings on one of the
Yeah,
pages, and
so yeah.
sometimes it would be a game, or it might sometimes I think they had database programs or whatever, you know, and you could just type these things off. I remember one was a Pac-Man clone.
Yeah, you had to type every single code pages for one program that you
Yeah,
had
and
to
if you got
type.
it wrong, you had to go and try and figure out where you got it wrong.
And at this was also on your Schneider, on your Amstrad.
Yeah, and we also had a speech synthesizer, and I remember at some time later I used that speech synthesizer and a small home keyboard that I had to make a track. I can't remember really what it sounded like. I just know that the speech synthesizer was saying, "The Martians have landed. The Martians have landed." And then I played something on the keyboard and recorded all of this. And after that, I had an Amiga, and some of my friends were into making music, and so we all had a copy of OctaMIDI, which was a tracker. I had a copy of Sonics, which was notation software. I had a MIDI box, and I could connect the Amiga to my home keyboard and program on the PC, and the keyboard would play it back, which was always great fun. We actually had a computer show and tell thing at school where you could bring in your computer and demonstrate what you'd been up to at home. So I brought in my Amiga and my keyboard, and a friend of mine had done some artwork in Deluxe Paint, and we then had the image showing while the Amiga was playing stuff back over the keyboard for everyone to listen to. And during break, we all played sensible soccer instead of actually doing anything meaningful,
Yeah.
which was also great.
At that time, I also kind of remember on the C64, there were only, I think, the synthesized music. There were only small bits of music synthesized, 3 seconds or something like that. And that was, at that time, it was a sensation that you can hear this little computer playing music.
I think there was a big difference between the Amiga, which while the PC was 16-bit, I believe the sound chips were still 8-bit, but the quality was noticeably improved and sampling was just about becoming a thing. So you could get various sound patches that would come on the discs that you could use with your trackers, and you'd have recordings of people going, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 for your typical dance music stuff. I never recorded anything myself because I didn't have a microphone that would work with the Amiga, but you know, you were just using whatever samples somebody had ripped off what was pseudo the internet from BBS. If you remember that.
Yeah, but at that time you did you learn you learned an instrument as a kid or started this did you start later with this?
Yeah, so I started off playing recorder. I must have been, I don't know, 5 years old. And we ended up moving to a new house. And I don't know exactly how old I was, but I'll be 7, 8 years old, I guess. And this place had a grand piano in it. It was out of tune, but it worked, you know. And I enjoyed banging around on it. I was shown a little bit of how to play it. Both my parents know how to play piano, not that great, but they've done some. My uncle is a church organist, so he's actually a professional musician. My grandmother on my dad's side also had a piano at home, so everybody in the family, they knew how to play a little bit, so they'd show me the very basics of the piano. And we had some music books. I remember hits of the 60s, which had, you know, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and all that sort of stuff in there with the melodies, the chords and everything. So I was playing that. My mum had a guitar. I do remember strumming about on it. I don't think I actually really knew what I was doing, but it didn't matter. It was fun. You thought you sounded amazing, so that was all that really mattered. And at some point, both I and my sister had piano lessons at school. That was about a year, and I didn't enjoy it. I didn't realize it because I was a young kid that I should just have said, I don't care about Beethoven and Mozart. I don't want to play this. I want to play the Beatles. Because if I'd have said that, we'd have probably done stuff that I enjoyed. But it was a case of I'd go to music lesson and it would be some etude of who knows whoever. Yeah. And I was expected to be able to play that. And then I'd go home, and instead of practicing the stuff I was doing in piano lessons, I'd be playing, you know, Let It Be or Yesterday or whatever I felt better reflected my own musical tastes. And so at some point, I just stopped going to piano lessons. I didn't enjoy it. But I was still playing the instruments at home. And then we also had a music teacher at school who very firmly believed that kids will learn by doing. Because up until this point, it had all been very dry theory. These are the notes on a, you know, on a musical sheet with the five lines. This is a half note, this is an eighth note, this is a quarter note, and this is a Mozart piece again. And you know, kids, when they're 10 years old, they don't care. They don't really don't care. And this music teacher, he thought we should all be playing an instrument. So we had two classes. One class got to do the string instruments, and there were, you know, the violins and the violas and the cellos. And I was in the wind instrument class, and that was both woodwind and brass. So we had the oboes and the bassoons, and then we had the brass section, which was the entire boys in the class. We were only 8 boys in the class and about 20 girls. I was playing trombone with a couple of my friends, and then we had trumpets and tubas and all of that. So I played trombone for a bit. It's a very fun instrument. I really enjoyed that. I don't have a trombone though, so.
So the first instruments, there was no electric guitar in the game at first?
Yeah, or? I got my first electric guitar when I was 16. It was for my birthday. A friend of mine at school wanted to form a band. And, you know, it sounded like a great idea. You know, we were 15, 16 years old, and we were starting to get into music. We were starting to go out. We'd started getting into punk and stuff like that. So we didn't need to know how to play the instrument to make a band. You can have a punk band and nobody can play an instrument. It doesn't matter. You're just having fun with your friends. So I got an electric guitar for my 16th birthday, complete with a very shitty amp that I still have and haven't used since I was 16, probably. And yeah, we formed a band. Of course, we were not very good, but we were writing our own songs and we were learning our chords, and we were also playing other people's music, partially to inspire us, partially so we had more stuff to play. But of course, we all wanted to be writing our own songs. We didn't want to be a cover band. We wanted to be creative people in our own right. So I ended up playing with a bunch of school bands, and it was probably a very good learning experience. And at the end, I'd say we weren't amazing musicians because we'd only been playing for 1 or 2 years, but we knew how to write a song.
So you would say it's not necessary, you don't need to be a very good guitar player or a very good keyboard player to start with a band project. So you can do this also if you are a beginner and love this instrument and experiment with it. So it's also possible to start this project, a band.
Yeah, I think you've got to be realistic. If you're a beginner, then play with other people who are also beginners, because then you'll all be at a similar level. And, you know, it's fine if someone's been playing for 6 months or a year and you're just starting out, the difference is not going to be so big, but you aren't going to be able to play in a band where people have been playing for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and they won't enjoy playing with you. But when it's you and your friends and you're all at a similar level, you're going to push each other to practice and to get better. You can show each other things as you discover them. So it's a great way to learn, I think, because you're doing it with other people and that gives you a certain motivation. I need to learn my part for the band. I need to write a song for the band. You know, these are things that make you actually sit down, play your instrument and learn how it works.
What were your idols at that time? You said you heard punk music, the Sex Pistols, or what was big in that time?
Yeah, I mean, this was sort of the mid-90s, maybe early 90s, depending on exactly what stage we're at. Yeah. So yeah, we definitely liked the Sex Pistols. We'd listened to all of their music and we went to watch their films, which they were playing in obscure cinemas where we were often the only people who went to see them. There were a bunch of other punk bands that, you know, we went to see. One of them was the UK Subs. I don't know if they mean anything to you. I saw the Ramones live in 95, okay. Which was amazing. That was in London, and we turned up to the gig without tickets, and we were just hoping, maybe we can get tickets. And we got there, and there were millions and millions of people, and they were selling tickets, but I think it was £12.50 to get in, and people were selling the tickets for about £50. And we're teenagers, we're broke, we can't afford that kind of money. So we just sort of wrote it off and thought, okay, not worth the effort, we're not going to get in. And we were heading back to the tube station when some guy approached us, and he asked us, "Are you looking for tickets for the Ramones?" And we were like, well, we had been, but they were really expensive. I wanted to go in, but my mate, how old we were, I was
Yeah.
17.
Was it your first concert? No.
No. This was just after I graduated school. We've been to a lot of concerts before. But coming back to the story, so this guy comes up to us and he says, "I've got two tickets and I wanted to go in, but my mate hasn't turned up and I don't want to go in alone. I'll sell them to you for £15." So we snapped that up, went inside. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And it was, I think, the last time the Ramones ever played, or it was, they might have done one gig after that in the States. So we like that kind of music. I like the Pixies a lot. The Pixies were a huge influence on us. We obviously were listening to things like Nirvana, Rage Against the Machine. Some people were into Smashing Pumpkins, not really my kind of thing. I don't hate them or anything, but I didn't find them that exciting. But I've always been a huge, huge fan of the Beatles.
They were
There's
not tough,
more than
I
just what
think.
we were listening to. Yeah, then, they were very versatile, and they had a lot of different types of songs. I'm not a huge fan of the really early poppy stuff. I like it sort of from 1965 onwards, where they get a bit trippy and they're doing all sorts of weird and wonderful things.
I think the Beatles also experimented a lot with technical things, playing things reversed.
It's something that you will find in the music that I make, where I will, do things like reverse samples or hide things away in there, or do something that's just a little bit weird and maybe inspired by how you used to work with tape, which informed a lot of ways that they went about these processes. Of course, on a computer, you can make your job a lot easier, but you can still try and think of different ways to achieve the same result.
And they worked with a tape machine and cut the tape in very small pieces.
And I think while it's a lot easier today to do that sort of thing, it's quite often not used as much as it could be. There are some genres that revolve around cutting these things up, and you get your whole genres like glitch hop or neuro or whatever, where there's a lot of things that have been processed and then re-recorded and then run through something else and then recorded again. And then you've got some audio files and you're chopping them up, you're looking for the little bits and arranging that. There are some genres that do that. But if you listen to most pop music, it's still just, a kind of linear process of recording a bunch of instruments or programming bunch of instruments. There's not much fun and games.
Nowadays, you have millions of options how you can manipulate the sound or what you do with your digital audio workstation. Sometimes it's difficult to pick the right tool for your song. And in the 60s, the Beatles had maybe only 10 possibilities to manipulate. But at that time, they had to invent these options, I think, or these manipulation tools. They invented some of them in that time, I think.
Yeah, or they refined them. They definitely created certain techniques that went on to be quite commonly used and simplified, so any idiot could do it in a couple of seconds. It wasn't the same process back then, that's for sure.
Yeah, some things they invented at that time. Nowadays, you can also practice in a computer, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's,
in other
I
ways.
think it really is just, it's a mindset, right? Some people I think are going to sit down and they're going to just sort of, this might sound horribly condescending, but create what they would term a product. If you listen to a lot of pop music, it sounds like a product, right? It doesn't sound like a work of art. It doesn't sound like a labor of passion. It sounds like we have to get this done, so I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do it. So you're just going to, get it done in the shortest period of time that you possibly can, because that's how you pay the bills. I can absolutely understand that. But I think when you look at something which is more creative, like the Beatles, and there's obviously a lot of other bands that have been very creative, I think that is a passion to experiment, and it's about that creative artistic process. So you don't necessarily need to be splicing tape or trying to imitate that process, but it's nice to think outside of the box when you're working on a track and think about what could I do that gives this track something unique. I like all my tracks to have something that is unique. It might not be obvious, and it might not be a fundamental part of the song, but somewhere in there's something that isn't ordinary.
Yeah, sometimes you tend to use your construction kit maybe and say, oh, I made the last song, made it this way, and I can copy this, and that's the easiest way, but then it gets a boring song maybe. As you said, the unique thing is what makes a song special at the end,
Or
using
at
all the
least
construction
makes
kit.
it unique. Because I think there's a difference between a song that's special and a song that's unique, right? But
Okay.
I'm somebody, I really don't have the capacity to concentrate and keep repeating things that I've already learned how to do. I really hate menial tasks. I really hate doing things again and again and again. So if I were to do what you say and take this sort of checklist of how to make a track and work through it every time I made a track, I'd hate making tracks. I need something when I'm doing that to say, I've never done this before. Now I'm going to do that.
I think you need a lot of time to start with a song. A whole day for creating a song. Don't create a song in a hurry. When you are in a hurry, you cannot experiment with things, try something out. Is this a good sound? Is this a good way I manipulate the sound? Take the time for this.
At least if you're doing it because it's a hobby or a passion. Obviously, if you're working in a context where you're being paid to deliver something and you are making something for someone else who has a particular expectation of you, then just get it done because that's how you're going to earn your money. You're not going to get extra money because you spent 3 weeks longer because you went and recorded how it sounds in some disused warehouse because you like the reverb. Nobody cares. They want that so they can use it tomorrow. So you better get your shit done and you better, deliver whatever it is you've committed to. But yes, if you're doing it because you like that creative process and you want to create something that you can call art or whatever you want to call it, then yeah, you need to give yourself the freedom to experiment and give yourself the freedom to discover where the track wants to go, where that track wants to take you.
I wanted to ask you, when did you start with writing your own songs? But you started early when you started with your band. You wrote your first tracks.
No, I'd actually written stuff before that. On the piano as a kid, I'd written a few things and I'd written stuff on the Amiga in the various programs. So I don't know exactly. I can remember writing a song. I had some lyrics and stuff back when I must have been 8 years old or something like that, right? But the thing is, I don't think this song had a chord progression or a structure. I think it was just, here's some words, let's grab some instruments, let's make some noise. That's what you do, a very naive approach to it. I think the actual formal songwriting happened Probably around the age 11 or 12, that's when I first started doing that.
But the process changed at that time. You're more experimenting on your instruments and try to evolve a song. And nowadays you're on your computer and develop the song in a different way.
I'm not sure. Here's the thing. There's different types of songs that you write in different ways. So if you're writing for a band, right, you probably don't want to go in there unless maybe you have one particular song where this isn't true, but you don't want to go in there and say, look, guys, I've written five intricate parts and your only job is to parrot back what I tell you to do, because that's a way to annoy your band members. Yeah, what you want to do when you're in a band is you want to come in with the structure and with an idea of what you're going to play, maybe with an idea of the lyrics, and present it to the band so that you can then work together to make this song work the way your band wants to play it. Which isn't the same as if I'm the only person playing on a song. Then it's my job to write every single part. I need to write the bass part. I need to write the guitar part. I need to write the piano part, the synth lead. I need to write the lyrics. I need to do everything because I'm going to be the only one who's contributing to this. But if you want the band to feel ownership, then get them on board and get them involved and say, here's a rough idea. This is the verse progression. This is the chord progression. Maybe there's a bridge. I might have some lyrics. I might have an idea of lyrics. I might have no lyrics. Let's do something with this. So that's a different process because it has to be. The way you would go around about making a trance or dance track is going to be very different from the way
Yeah.
to work on a rock track. Even if you're the only person doing it.
There's a cloud of smoke around you, but you haven't got a light. There's a darkness that surrounds you, it's actual to fight. They want to put their arms around you, but you're really not the type. While the people who surround you still believe the hype. You used to be the life and soul of the party, mixing your drinks and all that malarkey. Skating round the thin lines, but all to no avail. Seen the upsides and the downsides, and being beyond the pale. Between a cameo and role play, beneath the veil. You used to be the life and soul of the party, mixing your dreams and all that malarkey. What you had to do. If there's one thing you are left with, you're left with you. Mixing your drinks and all that malarkey. You used to be the life and soul of the party. Vodka and gin rounded off with Bacardi. You used to be the life and soul of the party. Mixing your drinks and all that malarkey. You used to be the life and soul of the party. Vodka and gin rounded off with Bacardi.
What kind of person are you? Do you have a melody first in your head and then you think, oh, that's a great melody, I transform this now into a song or on my instrument? Or do you play on your instrument and develop the melodies there and that they come into the song?
Sometimes there's a melody and then you go and you say, okay, I hear this, I have to figure out how to play it, and then I can capture it. And that is the idea behind the song. And I'm going to build everything up around that. That's less common. I'm not so focused on the melodies normally. I will pick up my guitar or play on the piano mostly and find some chords and maybe, there's a melody in there that comes out of the chord progression, but it will start off with a sort of, this is the overall big picture of the harmonic content of my track. Whether it's complicated or not, it can evolve over time, but it's normally playing on an instrument where you can play lots of different notes at the same time. That's the great thing about a piano. The great thing about a guitar is you only need that and your voice, and you can write a song. And if the song sounds good in that basic distilled form where it's just those two things, then it's probably a good song. Because there are songs that sound quite good when you've got all the production around it. But if you can't take that song and play it on acoustic guitar and have it sound good, it's probably not a good song. It might be a great production, but it's probably not a good song.
My songwriting also changed in that direction. When I started with making my own music, I mostly tried to develop a melody in the piano roll in the digital audio workstation. I painted it note after note. I tried to develop the melody. And on the last songs I've written, I changed it to playing something on the guitar. I played some melodies on the guitar and composed the song around this. A melody should not be too complicated, not too simple, but not too complicated, and so that it could stay in your head.
If you're playing something on the guitar and you don't like what you just played and you want to try something else, you can just move your fingers until you find the sound that you like, and that is really, 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 really quick. The same on the keyboard. If you came up with something and you think, oh, I'll try something else, by the fact that you can just do it and you can play as fast as you like or as slow as you like, you don't have to fiddle around with the BPM or anything or make your loop the right size, or you're just focused on making music. That makes it quicker to write. And it teaches you how to write and how to think about things so that you can go and enter the piano and your brain already knows what you are trying to transcribe because you can now hear something in your head and you can put it into notes because you've practiced doing that on an instrument for a long, long, long time. I think if you just sit down and you're trying to click in notes and you haven't developed an ear and you can't really tell whether the notes that you're playing are too short, too long, too high, too low, you are going to spend an awful long time moving one note up, down, round, about, restart the loop, no. It's a very, very, very inefficient process.
Especially on the guitar, you can bring, I think, also some emotions in the song, how strong you're playing the guitar.
Yeah, you can build up the intensity of a progression to help your songwriting. That's definitely also the case. So you might start off with your first verse being, you know, slow and strum, strum, strum. And then by the third verse and the final chorus, you're really whacking the strings and it's a lot louder. And yeah, it helps you get into the mood and become part of the music and forget about all this technical stuff. It's a purely creative process. There's nothing wrong with having come up with an idea on your instrument, then going in the piano roll and saying, I don't have to make this a guitar song. I can make it a synth song now because I've worked out the progression. But I think just to get a first idea, being able to noodle is so much more efficient. I think everybody should learn to play an instrument. They don't need to be very good at it, but enough that you can mess around with an idea and develop it because it's simply a much more efficient way of doing it.
And it's important that you feel the song.
You definitely have more of a connection to the song.
This was your starting. What are you doing now? What are your projects at the moment?
My project at the moment is wait and don't go insane while we're all in lockdown and I can't jam with the band. I have a band that I play with. We're not particularly serious, you know, we're not looking to become rock stars or anything. And for the longest time, we didn't have a drummer. We were two guitarists and me playing bass. We've recently found a drummer, which is great because he's actually a decent drummer and it's more fun to play with drums. But, you know, we're playing because we like to play. We like to write songs. We like to create things together. And when you're working together with other people, the whole social aspect that comes into the music making that you don't have when you're at home on your own. You come up with ideas you would never come up with on your own. Different people can make different suggestions as to how the song should go. You're all evaluating, does this work? What does the song need? And bringing creative input to help steer it to where it has to go. And by playing together and coming back to what I was saying before, not having it worked out intricately to start off with, but allowing it to develop as you play, you find a groove and the song finds its own energy. It comes alive by doing that. It's a very rewarding thing because after we've been playing for 2 or 3 hours, we're all coming out, we all have a buzz, we all enjoyed it. And then we sit down and you talk to the other people. You know, there's a whole very often overlooked, I think, social aspect to music. There's a tendency for people to seclude themselves in their bedroom studio and do everything like that. But music's about connecting to other people. Its entire raison d'être is to share emotions with other people. So I miss that. I really miss that. That's not really a project I have going. It's just like, yeah, that's what I want to do.
What kind of music? Can you describe it?
Indie rock, probably.
No keyboard in it? Only guitar, bass, and drums? Or
sometimes I'll play the keys, and there's another guy who also plays keys. Quite a few of us, we play more than one instrument. So there's some tracks where I might play the guitar and someone else will play the bass. But normally I'm the bassist and there's two guitars and a drummer. But yeah, you know, we'll play tambourine. We'll play on the keyboard. He's got a synthesizer in the room. But for the most part, I'd say it's your standard rock band, right? With a twist every now and then.
And where do you rehearse?
Some guy's cellar.
Okay. And when the weather is good, you also meet in the park and play there?
Well, yes and no. I like to take my guitar whenever there's an event being held outside. And sometimes I will actually ask people to meet me for the sole purpose of doing that. In the past, I used to just go to the park with my guitar and see who else was there, you know, sit down and you'd meet musicians that you would play with together that way. It's a great way of connecting with other people again. But yeah, you know, I sometimes go around to the guitarist's house and we'll sit in his guitar, we'll sit in his garden with playing guitars and just sort of jamming away, either playing songs we both like or playing songs from the band or writing new stuff. Again, it comes back to that. As long as the songs are good, it doesn't matter if you're playing them on an electric guitar with drums or an acoustic guitar. That's the sort of the acid test. If the songs work that way, or you can make them work, good song. And if they don't work that way, well, okay, I know this song isn't as good as the others.
What are your recent songs? You're very active on SoundCloud, I think.
Yeah. Basically, SoundCloud is where I dump everything that has reached a point where I think people who know me might be interested in listening to this. So it'll range from ideas that are pretty rough to things that I would consider pretty much finished and everything in between. There's no great filter there, except when I know that I still have a few small things to do that are easy to do before I share it with the world, I'll normally either make the track private or not share it until I'm ready. It's a great place to put your music, to share it with other people, because you want feedback. It doesn't have to be finished, right? I put it there and then I can send someone the link and say, listen to this, what do you think of it? And they can tell me what they think of it and I can improve it.